Looking through the other end of a prism. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheath, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principle Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
It's great to be back with you, Barry, in our individual studios. It's a beautiful day today. It's a little cloudy tonight, but you know what? I love it. Summer may actually be getting here. April may finally have taken leave of us.
Well, yes, we might. It's been in the upper 80s, low 90s down here, and we just had a little bit of a rain shower pass through and maybe another one on its way. But hey, everything's good. It's summertime. It's, well, almost the middle of June. And
yes.
Everything should be laid back and easy right now, Chuck, but that's really not the case, especially when you're talking about the American experience. Because right now, especially right now, things seem to be getting into a heightened level of, shall we say, anxiety across the fruited plain, and it all has to do with how we look at things, or
well.
Who is looking at things is more appropriate.
Yeah, I would say that we're reaching rapidly a crisis of government in this country, and it has to do with the fact that things that you and I, our friendship goes back about, what, about 10 or 11 years, I'd say, something like that?
At least, if not more.
In the early days, meeting in the old radio station over in New Albany, and it was post 9/11, but none of this stuff had happened. I kind of remember you and I talking about the fact that this Patriot Act and these things were all going to come back and haunt somebody. And sure enough, here we are. All you have to do is pay attention to what's going on with IRS, the National Security Agency, all kinds of surveillance. Right now, I'm understanding that in the Ohio Senate, there is a bill to make it easier to gather our information from cell phones. Meanwhile, it's essentially the senators in Ohio and maybe the other part of the legislature fiddling while Rome burns. The fact is that you and I have talked many, many times about the fact that the Fourth Amendment is out the window with a number of the things that have been happening. And that realization is beginning to make itself felt suddenly with people finding out that they open the newspaper and find out that their company that they have chosen to use as an internet service provider or a cell phone provider or websites that they may hang out at are busy supplying the government with all kinds of information under a blanket court order, which is absolutely unconstitutional. There's no doubt about that. It's not even debatable, Barry. And any congressman or senator who comes out and says, no, it's completely legal, or any government agency head, as the NSA head has said, it's all legal. Well, no, it isn't. The Fourth Amendment is clear. The Fifth Amendment is clear. You can't look at those kinds of records without a specific court order based on evidence. You have to provide evidence that some crime has been committed. You can't just randomly look at records. Can't just pull them, go in, flash a badge, and say, I want to see records for such and such and so and so, or just send us everything between this date and this date.
Well, we know constitutionally that's the case. However, constitutional restrictions have never stopped a tyrannical government, and this is the case as well. Now, and Chuck, it's interesting because we talked about a prism. And, you know, the concept of a prism is it's an object and the white light goes through it. And because of the way it breaks up that light, when it comes out the other side of the prism, it breaks it into its constituent parts, i.e. the colors of the rainbow from your reds all the way up to your violets. So that whole spectrum is broken out. Now, usually
it's
do that.
Roy G. Biv.
Yeah, yeah, Roy G. Biv. You usually do that when you want to see the constituent matters of white light. Now, when you look at through the prism the other direction, you take all those colors and it breaks down into white light. And we know what white light does. It illuminates things. Because all those different colors along the color spectrum each have their own frequency and they can each do certain things. But when you put them all together, you start seeing things clearly. And that's what's happening now because all this we're talking about the government not being able to do things, well, they've been doing it. It's called Operation PRISM. And PRISM is a program that's been run since 2007. So, yes, this did start in the Bush administration. So we're going to lay the origin of the blame right squarely where it should be with George W. Bush's administration. But Barack Obama's administration has picked up on this, and I think they've created it into a fine art rather than a science, Charles, because the National Security Agency, the NSA, along with Homeland Security and other federal agencies, have been collecting data on American citizens. They've been taking each of those points of various color light, if you want to use that prism example, and they've been grabbing it. Some are grabbing from Google. Some are grabbing from your Facebook feeds. Some are grabbing from your phone records of your cell phone or your landlines. Others probably, and my guess is this will come out sooner or later, that they actually are grabbing your library records to see what books you're checking out and reading. But it wasn't until just a couple of weeks ago, or actually about a week and a half ago, that a whistle got blown, and all of a sudden, all of those various color bands of light came together through the prism of public awareness, and white light started getting shown on what was going on.
Well, exactly. And what's interesting about this, Barry, is, well, you know, I really think because of what we do, me with Camp American, both of us with the Institute for Principal Policy, and of course, you're a teacher at Camp American, we attempt to teach people what the Constitution says and what it means. And really, what it means is what it says. It's very clear, actually. And I think we ought to read the Fourth Amendment so people understand what it is. If you get some congressman, some commentator, this or that or another thing that tells you it's all perfectly legal, you should know what the Fourth Amendment says so you can tell whether he's a liar or not. And I'm going to read it. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Well, as you can see, Barry, a blanket court order that simply allows federal government to swoop in and take your data is blatantly and obviously forbidden by this. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How can probable cause be cited when you're doing a general information sweep?
Well, I don't think it can, because if you're on a fishing expedition, your probable cause is we think somebody may be thinking about breaking a law.
Well, what are you going to swear to? If the officer who's seeking the court order or the warrant has to swear an oath or affirmation, what does he got to swear to? He has to swear to a particular place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. He has to swear that there's some kind of evidence to allow that seizure. In other words, there is a distinct and obvious right to privacy. And that right to privacy is being, well, wantonly violated. And the fact is, let's put blame where it belongs. One of the reasons that you and I have been talking about this for years is that people said after 9/11, we need this in order to be protected. And we actually had people that we knew who said things like, they were willing to trade some of their rights for their personal safety. And I said, okay, where is the line in the sand then? At what point do you stop trading your personal liberty for safety? Now, sure, there's always a compromise position, but the compromise position is not the NSA basically moving in and swooping up every bit of data. Let's not kid ourselves. This is not confined to telephone records. They know what websites you're visiting. They know very often there's software out there that can see what you're typing on. Let's say you have Microsoft Word on your computer.
Sure, as many people
do. Those keystrokes are very easy to capture by the proper software. And the fact is that your internal camera can be turned on so they can see what you're doing while you're doing that. So, in other words, do you have any privacy? And the answer is no.
Because not
really. The federal government has rigged this up in the guise of, quote-unquote, protecting you from whoever, because as we all know, it's all Al-Qaeda. It's all about Al-Qaeda, even though we are in the Middle East fighting Al-Qaeda while we're supplying the Muslim Brotherhood, all of whom have ties with Al-Qaeda. It's really just we're essentially fighting ourselves in the Middle East. But getting back to the point at hand, we have been looking at an article in the UK Guardian because I want to point something out, Barry. All these scandals that have coming out, all of them, the IRS, the NSA, all this political snooping, all the things that the Obama administration is doing wrong, how much of American media has broken the story? How many can you name that American media has broken?
Wow, very few. They're mainly coming from Britain and other places.
They're 0-4.
There you go. Very few meaning none.
What does that tell you? You know that it would be much easier for American media, it should be much easier for American media to break these stories than it is for British media to break these stories, because they're there and we're here. But there's also a reason here that they can't break these stories. There's two reasons. First of all, they're playing lapdog. They're lapdogging with the Obama administration because the media, let's not kid ourselves, has bias. And it's a far-left bias that is shared with the current administration. They want this man to succeed. And so they don't want to poison the well and show that all these bad things are going on, blah, blah, blah. But there's another thing going on here, Barry. American journalists are beginning to live in fear because one of the scandals that's broken is the fact that journalists are being targeted.
Yes.
They're being targeted because what the government is claiming is, well, we don't want to, and this is a lie, by the way, we don't want to get at the journalists who are doing their job. We want to find who the leakers are, the whistleblowers. Well, come see, come saw, it's the same thing. They want to shut off the source. So what's happening? It's having a chilling effect on journalistic operations. So basically, there's a lot of journalists who, if they were so inclined, which they're not, to go out and find this information on the Obama administration, they're afraid to do it because they know they're going to suffer the consequences. So what does that leave happen? That basically leaves happen that the stories have to be broken in the foreign press. Barry, that is a direct sign of a tyranny. That's a direct sign of a tyranny. Now, you and I both know that sometimes there are national secrets that have to be kept. But what happens when the national secrets are things, the national secret that has to be kept is that the government is not spying on foreign operatives who are here to make war, but is spying on American citizens.
Oh, well, then you've got yourself a serious issue at this point.
Yeah, it's a very majorly serious issue. And one of the things that has happened is that the story has been broken, for instance, in the UK Guardian about the National Security Agency. And when we say NSA, that's what we mean, the National Security Agency.
Yes.
In case those of you know, I forget, Barry, that sometimes we talk inside baseball and that people don't understand what we mean. So NSA is National Security Agency. By the way, who Susan Rice is being appointed to that job. If you all know who Susan Rice is, she's the UN ambassador who basically embarrassed herself by coming out on this Benghazi scandal and insisting for weeks that the Benghazi was a reaction to this ridiculous video that was put out by this poor joker whose motivations nobody knows yet in California, who made this awful video on Muhammad. And it was Benghazi was supposedly a reaction to that. Well, of course, it turns out it has nothing to do with that video. Most people had never seen that stupid video. So Susan Rice is being moved over to the National Security Agency, and she doesn't have to go through the confirmation process. And do you know why?
Because she already sat for the process in her previous position?
That's it. She's already sat for the... And UN ambassador is a cabinet-level position.
Yep.
Made so by the Barack Obama administration. It's never been a cabinet-level position before, but it is now. Okay, what does that mean? Well, she doesn't have to go through any scrutiny. And since she's moving from an ambassadorial position to a national security position, she's basically going to be exempted from any kind of testimony having to do with... It's a brilliant move, by the way. Any real testimony having to do with what she knew about Benghazi and when she knew it.
Yeah, very smart. If you want to keep people away from that, you just hide it by moving the pieces around on the chessboard.
Exactly. And so this woman is now essentially protected from any kind of real scrutiny. And Obama knows that she's not going to give any answers. And if Congress subpoenas her, she will simply refuse to answer on the grounds of national security. There won't be any public hearings. If she does testify, which she won't, she'll testify in a closed hearing, that kind of thing. So basically nothing will ever be found out. I want to talk about this a little more, but we're out of time.
Well, maybe we can do that on a second show.
I'm thinking we're going to need to, because there's an interview we haven't even touched yet. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.